Let us turn again to Revelation chapter 22 and let us consider verse 12 as the Lord may be pleased to help us. Verse 12 in the last chapter of Revelation. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. We're at the end of the Bible here. We've been given this revelation from God in his goodness, to tell us all that we need to know about spiritual things. He has told us everything that we need to be aware of. And we have this particular testimony to the second coming of Christ. He came once. He was born in Bethlehem. He went about doing good. He was brought to Calvary by wicked men who wanted rid of him. But there was this also. There was the eternal purpose of God, that he would not only enter into the world, but that he would die, that he would die in the place of sinners. But what we have here is that he will come again. And he tells us, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man, every person, according as his work shall be. And as we would try to consider these words, a message from God himself, something we need to know, something we need to consider. And as we consider it, we should be asking God's blessing, that he would apply these truths, the truths in our verse, that he would apply them to our souls. And this is a particularly important matter, that when Christ will come, that we would be ready to meet him. That we would be, and in a sense we may speak of Christ coming for each of us, to take us away from this world when our time here is over, and that we would be ready to go to heaven. That we would have the preparation that we need. And that preparation comes from the Lord alone. Let us notice 3 points then, as the Lord may help us. First, that is the fact that Christ will come again. Second, this further fact, that he will reward everyone according to their works, according to the way that they have lived, according to what they have done. And we might notice about the word reward. We use it generally in a positive sense. A reward, you might reward a child for behaving well. That's something positive. But the idea here includes the negative as well. People will be treated according to their works, according to the way that they have lived, whether they lived well or whether they lived badly, whether their works are good or whether they were sinful. Of course, we're all sinning. We're all coming short of God's glory. But the thing is, what's the general tendency of the way we live? What's the general tendency of the works we do? The way we think, the way we speak. So, there will be this treatment of everyone according to whether they lived well or lived badly, according to whether the main thrust of their lives was in the way of sin or in the way of godliness. And then finally, this final point. I come quickly. Jesus is not only saying that he will come again. He is saying that he will come quickly. And I will try, God willing, to explain the sense of that expression, the way it is to be understood, as I would take it, and others too, that he will come quickly. First, Christ will come again. Second, the reward. According to whether people have lived according to God's law or against God's law. And finally, that Christ will come quickly. Christ will come again then, first of all. He has come. He came into the world to save sinners. He died. He rose again. He ascended to heaven. He took his place at the right hand of God the Father. And he is there as the one mediator between God and men, carrying out all his functions as mediator. He is acting as a prophet, teaching sinners the ways of God. He is acting as a priest, making continual intercession. He is acting as a king, ruling over everything. But he is to come again. When this world will come to an end, he will come. He will come to bring the world to an end. He will gather into eternity those who are still alive at that time. There will be the judgment. There will be the resurrection and then the judgment. And you find it in Hebrews 9, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We'll all die, but we'll all rise again. We'll all go to judgment. There will be a trial, so to speak. The evidence will be led. What kind of people were there? Were we? What kind of reward will we have? But we'll leave that a line of thought for just now. But, you see, as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered for sin. He died. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin. He will not come as a sin bearer. That's how he came the first time. He took upon him the sins of all who will ever believe. He dealt with these sins. He bore them away. He endured the punishment for these sins. He will appear the second time without sin and to salvation. You might say that his first coming had to do with providing salvation. Yes, but his second coming will bring about the final part of salvation. You see, the godliest of people die. Those whose works are most conformed to the will of God, they will die. But they will not remain in the grave forever. Christ will come the second time and raise them from the grave. Yes, they will get their bodies back. Body and soul will be reunited. And after the judgment, believers will be invited to heaven. They will be brought there. What gladness there will be then among those, among the many, among the multitudes who will go to heaven. Yes, you see, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, Christ's voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, and to the resurrection of life. They will be raised from the dead. They will be made alive again. Of course, the souls of those who have died, they will be in heaven from the time of death till the resurrection. And they will be perfectly happy there. It will be perfect blessedness for them. There will be one thing missing in heaven until the resurrection, and that is the bodies of those who are there, with a very few exceptions, like Enoch, who walked with God, and God took him body and soul to heaven then. But for others, it will be a case of getting their bodies back. Yes, they will be perfectly happy as pure spirits in heaven. But there's something missing. Still something missing until the resurrection. But that final aspect of salvation. Christ will come without sin and to salvation. That final act of salvation for the people of God. Yes. Or to quote from Daniel, many of those that sleep in the dust shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The many, to put more clearly, in other words, what is really meant, the many that sleep in the dust, they shall arise. Their souls aren't sleeping. But they as complete persons, as far as we can see in this world, as far as we can see, that is, apart from the teaching of the Word of God, we lay the body in the grave. It's to be there till the resurrection. but they shall rise. Shall twofold rise. Either to everlasting life in the blessedness of heaven, or to damnation, condemnation in the awfulness of hell. And you see, there's lessons to be learned from these solemn truths. How are we to live in this world? How are we to seek to live in this world? How are we to go before God in prayer and plead with Him that we should be prepared to meet Christ when He will come the second time? Well, listen to Christ Himself. While He was here in this world the first time, He speaks about the days of Noah, and that as these days were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Son of Man being the name that the Savior most often used for Himself. What was true about the days of Noah? After he had, when he had built the ark, when he was ready to go into it, and no doubt inviting everyone he came into contact with, see and come into the ark. Be sure you come into the ark when the rain starts, or before the rain starts, perhaps he would have said. And the Savior says that they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the flood came and took them all away. They didn't believe Noah. They didn't believe that the flood was to come. Noah might have made it perfectly clear repeatedly. And why did he spend 120 years of his life at work, at hard work, very likely, and very likely along with his sons, building an ark so that there would be some rescued from the flood? He believed. He got on with the work that God gave him to do. What about us? When Christ is going to come, the point is that He will bring the world to an end. But it's not all, not every generation that will see the second coming of Christ. And we are to be ready for Christ coming to bring the world to an end, or we are to be ready when Christ will bring our lives to an end and bring us into eternity, according to whether we have done good or whether we have done evil. If we have done good, if we have sought to obey God, if we have sought to obey that commandment, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Look to Christ as the one who took the place of sinners and rose again, indicating that His work was accepted by God the Father. That's it. But are we only focused on this, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage? Things like that. The things, well, they indicate what people we are according to how we do them. But the people of Noah's time, they were missing out. What has God said? Are we missing out? This, what is God saying to me now? He's telling us to prepare to meet Him. Prepare to meet thy God was the message that Amos was given to his generation in Israel. It's a message that comes to us if we read our Bibles and hear the gospel preached. It's a message that comes to us. Prepare to meet your God. What preparation is needed? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To receive him as the Savior that God has provided. Who can really take away sin. That's it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the message. And we have this warning from Jesus Christ himself. The people of Noah's time, they didn't bother about what Noah had to say. Perhaps they would say, we've heard all that already. And there's no flood. We've heard it all. And there's no flood. We're still here. We're safe enough. No, they weren't safe. And we will not be safe unless we believe in Christ, unless we trust in him as the one who came into the world to save sinners. And that's what we are. Yes. All these things were fine. All these things were, in one degree or another, necessary. Eating and drinking. Getting on with the work that they had to do. Yes. But they were missing the most important thing out. How many today are missing out this vital matter of being ready for death? Don't bother to go to church and hear the truth about life and the truth about what lies beyond death. People generally don't bother about their Bibles. They don't bother about God. They find life easier if they can forget about God. Perhaps there's times when they say, or when it comes into their mind or comes into their consciences, I really must think about God. Surely those of us who come to church and read the Bible, surely we should know that we need to be ready for when death will come to us. Let us go on to the second thing. He shall reward everyone according to their works. It's pointing to the judgment. You have a description of the judgment back in chapter 20. And John says, it's powerful language. And may we have these words accompanied to our souls by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we would take them seriously. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, for the heaven and the earth. It was all being brought to nothing. God brought it into existence. He created all things. He will bring everything to an end. Basically, the same power that brought everything into existence, with all its wonderful complexity, is the power that will bring everything to nothing. And all that will be left from the original creation are the human beings who populated the world throughout the generations. They will exist forever, either in heaven or in hell. We will continue in existence, either in heaven or in hell. But at the judgment, after the resurrection, the books will be opened. I saw the dead, John says. John is the writer of the book, recording the visions that he had from God. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And accordingly, they will be rewarded as they have lived. The books, and what one can understand is, it's put in a pictorial way to help us understand. The books in which everything is written, so to speak, that has ever happened. In which everything is written. In other words, God's infinite memory. It's all in the mind of God what has ever happened. What every individual has done, what every individual has spoken, what every individual has thought. Was God glorified in any of that? Well, where sinners have been born again, when sinners have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and so their sins have been forgiven. Yes. And it's all in the books. Concerning those who have believed. That will be in God's perfect memory. This sinner believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. This sinner turned from sin. And began to walk in the ways of new obedience. This sinner went on looking to Christ. And it will be all detailed in terms of these broad matters that I have just mentioned. And the point is, when each one is directed either to the right side of Christ as the judge or directed to the left side of Christ as the judge. In other words, the place where God's people will go. On the other side, the place where others will go to be condemned because of their sins. You see, the evidence will be brought forward as to why they are on one side or on the other. The evidence will be brought forward as to why they will be invited to heaven, called to heaven. And there will be no questioning then, am I fit for heaven? Did I really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? The answers to these matters will be so obvious on the day of judgment that there will be no questions. And those who might at a tribunal or a court in this world have objected through their lawyers about the fairness, as they perceived it, of what was being said. No, there'd be no scope for that. There'd be no need for that. everything will be done in perfect fairness. It is described as a great white throne. The whiteness is a symbol of perfect justice. And the one who will be the judge, the one who will lead the evidence, is one who knows everything. I suppose if in this world somebody was arrested for some particular crime, if it was an infallible judge that was on the judgment seat, there would be no need to bring forth evidence. Be no need for it. He could just say, I know that this crime was committed. I know that this crime was committed by you. And then he would go on to pass sentence. Or, I know that you did not commit this crime. I know perfectly that you are innocent. You can go. But you see, even though the judge on the last day knows everything, he brings forth the evidence. And the evidence will be convicting for those who will be still in their sins. The evidence will be convicting. They cannot argue with it. And on the other hand, what comfort there will be from the important aspects of the evidence brought in favor of believers. Especially this person genuinely believed in Christ as a substitute of sinners. This person received the gospel, the good news about Christ coming into the world to save sinners. You see, these are the important, the most significant matters. I'm not saying it will be confined to these significant matters, but these are the most important matters. This person believed in Christ. This person was born again. This person had a love to the Ten Commandments. And so one could go on. No doubt the details will be brought forward. But still, these are the important things. And we should think about ourselves. Have I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have I been born again? Is there a change in my life? More or less obvious. It's not, is that person perfect? Even from the time of his conversion onwards. That's not the point. You can be quite sure that person wasn't perfect. But if he is, or she has begun to believe in Christ, if such people have gone on asking God to keep them from evil, asking the Lord to get grace to lean on Christ more and more firmly, to seek God's glory, to seek that others would be born again and would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we fare in measuring ourselves against these things? Remember, I'm not saying it's those who are perfect that are God's children. Perhaps I could say it's those who would wish to be perfect, though they realize that there will be no perfection in this world. But one thing is, they can look forward to the perfection of heaven. You might think of somebody that has been taken away, as we might well believe, to heaven. And you might say, that away from all the pain and suffering and sadness that they experienced in this world. And that's all true. But there's this great matter. They're away from all sin. They no longer have to sit down or kneel down before God and say, forgive me my sins of today. They're not committing sin anymore when they've gone to heaven. That's the real blessing. That's the main blessing for those who die, or for those in the last generation of this world who are taken straight to heaven without dying. No sin. They're pure and holy now. And whoever it is you might think of that you felt sure were the Lord's children, and you hear about them dying, and you might well say, we've lost their prayers. Perhaps not altogether. Because their prayers weren't confined to or the answer to their prayers wasn't confined to their lifetime. For instance, many a godly person praying for unconverted children and never saw their prayers answered. Many a time it has been true that after they died, their children were brought into the family of God. Their children were brought into the kingdom of God. The Lord is able to answer prayers long after the person has gone home to glory. The person who is praying. Yes, and if you read at the end of Matthew 25, you have the judgment spelt out, and you hear the sentence passed. You hear the reward announced, reward in the sense of our verse, positive and negative. You hear, or you read, the king saying, King Jesus, the judge who is reviewed the evidence, he says, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was anhungered and ye gave me meat. I was a stranger and ye took me in, and so on. What's that? That's the works. And what else is it? It's how the reward is allocated. I was hungry. And the idea there is, well, it would have applied to, say, Mary and Martha and Lazarus providing food for Christ when he visited them in Bethany. But there's more than that to it. I was hungry in my children. I was hungry, but it's the believers who were hungry, the people of God. And they were kindly looked after because they were the children of God. It's not that we're to confine our kindness to the people of God, but them in particular, because there will be a love in that kindness, not just throwing something to somebody begging. And no love in it whatever. But, you see, a love for the people of God, a love for God's children, a love for those who are in the same family. It's a stronger love. And it will be particularly spelled out on the day of judgment. And on the other hand, there's this. Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was anhungered, and ye gave me no meat, no food, no love for Christ, no love for the people of Christ. And John highlights in one of his epistles, the first epistle, that we know that we have passed from death into life. If we love the brethren, if we love those who also are believers in Christ. You see, the reward according to one's works. Those who have no love, no care for the hardships of the people of God, didn't go to offer them sympathy as their brethren, brothers and sisters. Yes. It's not but that one would offer sympathy to those who have lost loved ones and are not at least as yet God's children. But it's now. These things are a matter of distinction. It's the works that will be rewarded. On the basis of these works, these good works, these works which have a particular evidence of love to Christ, they are good works and they will be rewarded in heaven forever. And those who do not have these good works and go on without looking to Christ, that great work that will be rewarded, even if it's all of grace, even if it's all through the power of God himself, still, these works will be rewarded. But if there's none of these works, if they have never come to love God and to love Christ and to love the Holy Spirit, then, you see, they have not been delivered from the consequences of sin. They have not been pardoned. They are still responsible for their own sin. Yes. Their works will be rewarded. Or they will be punished for their sins, in other words, forever. What urgency we should flee. With what urgency we should flee to Christ. To have him as the Savior that we need. How earnest we should be to seek the Lord now. To seek his blessing. To seek the powerful working of his Holy Spirit to deliver us now from all our need. That we would have this good work of faith in Christ, believing in him as the substitute for sinners. Yes, and may the Lord give us that blessing. But let us go on to the fact that he is coming quickly. Now, I begin trying to explain that with this verse in 2 Peter 3. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. I suppose the main idea here is that there will be no delay in Christ's coming. All these things have been ordered by God in his purposes. There was the purpose, the eternal purpose of God the Son coming into the world, taking human nature, so that he might die in the place of sinners. He came at precisely the point that God purposed. When Christ was born in Bethlehem, it was what was always appointed in the mind of God, the time that he would come. He came at exactly the right time. And Christ will come at exactly the right time that has been appointed. He will come the second time. There will be no delay. He will never be late. Everything, he orders everything. He brings them people into existence. He brings events about exactly when he has purposed it. Christ will come quickly. Just at the right time, just at the appointed time, Christ will come. Yes. But let us remember this. I'm quoting from Isaiah chapter 40. Let us remember this. All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Everything fades. People die. People become weak. People pass into old age. Not everyone, of course. Some people die young. But everyone will die. But there's something that doesn't change, something that doesn't grow old, something that doesn't pass out of existence, and that is the Bible. It's a revelation for all time, but we're to make use of it. The Word of God tells us that we must pass out of this world. The Word of God tells us that we must be ready, that we must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we must flee from our sins, flee to Christ, the Savior. The Word of God tells us that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that it is a faithful saying, that it is worthy of all acceptance. Yes. It's all there. It's all there for us to make use of, so that we would escape being punished for our sins. That's the wonder of it. The perfect Son of God came into the world, took human nature, so that he might suffer, even to death. For the wages of sin is death, and we need to escape being paid these wages. Not the death that is involved in the soul being separated from the body, but the wages of sin in a lost eternity. How can we escape that? That should be our great question. Time is passing, a new year has started. The old year is over. We had various duties then that we never got done. and possibly various duties that we didn't bother to do. What about this duty with the certainty before us of having to appear before the judgment seat of Christ? What about this duty? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Yes. Are you seeking the Lord? Have you sought the Lord? Have you found him? Well, if you haven't found him, go on seeking. Or perhaps what I should say in many cases is, start seeking. Do not let another day pass. Do not let this day pass. Do not let a single service pass without seeking the Lord. You see, we're in a solemn position. We're on the way to eternity. We're in a solemn position because of sin. We need to get rid of the guilt of sin. We cannot put it away. But God has made provision. And we are to seek. We are to go looking for it. Where will you look? Look in the pages of Scripture. Is there something there that God might bless to me? Well, take it with you. Think over it and over it and over it. Pray about it. Go and pray about it. Yes. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Take that with you. You've heard many a thing today since you came in here. Take that with you. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Take that with you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And many another thing. The more you can put in your memory, the better. Better still, ask God to lay it up in your memory. And ask God to bring it before your thinking. Ask the Lord to bring it before your thinking. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or what you have in verse 17. The Spirit and the bride of Christ, the people of God. The Spirit and the bride say, come, come to Christ. Believe in him, in other words. Trust in him. And let him that heareth say, come. Come to, saying, come to Christ. Come to me as a Savior. Come and work in my soul by the Holy Spirit. And let him that is athirst come. Come to Christ. Believe in him. Trust in him. And whosoever will, whosoever is willing, let him take the water of life freely. Let him take the good news of salvation. Yes, come to Christ. And then all will be well. And that last solemn day, when we must gather before the judgment seat of Christ. May the Lord bless his word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord. May we believe thy word. May we come to thee so that it might be applied to our souls. Give us thy blessing. Watch over us now. May we take the truth with us. Bless us this evening when we hope to gather again. Take care of us all, going back and forth to our homes, and may we have thy blessing always. Come by the power of thy Holy Spirit, and apply the truth to our souls. Pardon us and keep us and bless us, now and always. prepare us for eternity. For Jesus' sake, amen.